to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back. No Mark Willard this week. It's Dan Dibley, FB Santangelo, Mark Randy with you on this Wednesday on 95.7 The Game. The Giants fall to the A's last night. Final score of 5-2 on deadline day. The Giants shipped out Jorge Soler, Luke Jackson, Alex Cobb. You get back a couple of minor leaguers. You get back an injured left-handed relief pitcher. You get back Mark Canna. He will likely join the Giants today, although he's not in the lineup, FP. We do have a lineup. New leadoff hitter tonight for the San Francisco Giants. Not Tyler Fitzgerald in back-to-back nights. Marco Luciano is back and is DHing tonight, but a little bit of a different-looking lineup for the Giants tonight than last night.
Well, Lamont Wade Jr. has led off a lot this year. Before they did the whole experiment with Jorge Soler, Lamont Wade Jr. was your leadoff hitter, and he was like leading the National League in on-base percentage for a long time. So he's leading off tonight. Ramos batting second, Bailey third, Chapman fourth, Conforto fifth, Fitzgerald 6th, Yastrzemski 7th, Luciano DHing 8th, Brett Wisely will play 2nd behind Logan Webb.
And you know who's on the other side? Former Giant Ross Stripling, Dibs.
Okay.
For the A's.
It's a revenge
old
game.
Old friend Ross Stripling.
For Ross Stripling. It's a Stripling revenge game. And it's I kind of threw this out on our show thread coming in just joking about a phrase, FP, that I hate in sports. It's must win. Because in sports media, sports talk in particular, we use must win when it's really not a must win. And so I kind of threw out to the thread, like, is tonight a must win? And it's obviously not a must win, because for me, a must win is you either win or you don't make the playoffs. And that's it. It's an elimination game.
You win or you die.
Game 7 is a must win.
Do or die.
And if you are 3 games out with 3 to play, that's a must win. If you lose and the team that you're going up against beats you and they advance ahead of you in the standings, then yeah, your season's over. But I do think tonight is not a must win.
What's below must win for you, Dibs? What do you want to call
really
it?
It's a really important game. It's a rig. So it's really important game.
Is tonight a rig, Dibs?
It's a really important game. Not only for the standings, because I looked earlier and I think they're 4.5 out. They're not 5 out. Maybe it's because there was an earlier result that has already come in that's allowed them to surge a half a game up. But they are behind 5-6 teams in the wild card, and they're tied with Cincinnati, and they're barely ahead of the Cubs. So
they're going to Cincinnati tomorrow.
Yeah, it's a really important game, and you know you're ahead of Cincinnati. So for me, it's more about not who's ahead of you or who's behind you, but it's about winning games and winning series. And if Oakland, who's not a world-beating team, I know that they can slug the ball, and that doesn't really bode well for the Giants if they don't pitch it great. But if you lose 2 in a row to Oakland, that feels like the beginning of the end. So it's not a must win, but it's a rig. It's a really important game.
I buy that. Yeah, the Mets lost earlier today, so you're now 4.5 back of the last wild card spot. D-backs, Mets tied for the final wild card spot. Then Cardinals, Pirates, Giants. Giants and Reds are tied. That's going to be a big series coming up starting on Friday. But yeah, really important. Really important for Logan Webb as well. I mean, we spent so much time talking about Farhan saying this is the best rotation in baseball. And, you know, you could, you know, kind of, I mean, I can make a case against every single one of their starting pitchers. I can make a case for every single one of their starting pitchers. But quietly, guys, Logan Webb hasn't been anywhere near his best lately. And when you talk about important games, Logan Webb is generally at his best in those. They desperately need Logan Webb to kind of get back to the pitcher that he's been for the majority of his career, because it has not been super pretty and up to his standards lately. If he comes out and struggles once again, and Ross Stripling, who comes into this game with what, a 6.02 ERA on the season, if he comes into Oracle Park and beats Logan Webb and the Giants, it might get kind of ugly for the Giants going forward.
And Logan's ERA is just a shade below 9 over his last 3 starts. He's given up 15 earned in 16 innings. So, and I know it's every start is different and it's all measured differently, but his ERA has gone from 309 before the break to now it's at 372. So, and he's been outspoken himself about how he needs to pitch better, and he's pitched like bleep. And
he always says the right things.
He does.
Always.
Are those the right things? I love Logan. And he's one of my favorites.
I like that fire, and I like the accountability. I don't know.
There is accountability, but maybe it's over-accountability.
Right.
Maybe it's extreme accountability. Like,
and you said that to us last week when we were interviewing you on the final pitch with FP.
I can't see you through this. Yeah, it's...
well, then change your angle.
Yeah, I can't. I'm trying to get on TV here.
there you
That's
go.
More important than seeing
totally. No, but like, there's being accountable, and we love our athletes to be accountable, right? And not make excuses. There have been a lot of excuses come out of that locker room by certain guys this year. I'm like, whoa. Those usually don't get out to the media. Those are like in the back of the plane, like, dude, I was really tired today. Like, whatever. But Logan, he's so hard on himself. Like, you can say things and you can say something without saying, man, he just beats himself up. And I think that if you beat yourself up publicly, that has a tendency to stick and have more of a carryover. I got to be better. That's it. Like, you know, that was a tough one today. I got to be better. And I pitched like ass. Like, I'm the one of the reasons why we're not. Like, I know as the leader of the team with a big contract that he feels this need. And he's super old school in that sense. But I would love for him to just be a little less hard on himself. Hmm. I think he's really, really hard on himself.
You think that impacts his pitching moving forward?
I do. It starts to like get into your psyche, into your... You know, when you say things out loud, you kind of give them a stamp of approval, right? If you think things, you think things. But like once you verbalize them, it gives them a bigger stamp of approval. And in my mind, and I could be wrong, what do I know? That when you say them in front of a camera publicly for everybody to hear, it gives it a bigger stamp. And just like you're wearing it, dude. Like, come on, you're fine. Just a little tinker here, a little tinker there. Get on top of your sinker. Let it eat a little bit. Change up same way. Like it's not a big thing here. If you'll figure it out. You know, something like that. Like I'll get this. I'm going to work this out. We're all going to work this out. Something like that. Yeah, but real quick, the Giants are playing the Reds next series, and they're tied with them in the wild card. The Reds were almost identical to the Giants in the trade deadline. So I just Google Reds during the commercial break. And
they traded Frankie Montas.
Yeah.
It was their opening day starter, I think.
This is from some Cincinnati. Cincinnati Reds called out for not making more moves at trade deadline. And so they start playing. They start in this article showing the fans' tweets. It says, took the easy way out. Lazy, cheap, unproductive. Woe is us. Fence straddling. Lack of intestinal fortitude. BS. So,
sounds pretty familiar.
Yeah.
So are you talking about that?
Yeah. I guess five games back of the wild card at the deadline means you're not going to make a playoff run and shouldn't go get MLB help, at least according to the Reds. I don't really understand the process of saying, yes, we'll have to DFA relievers, but we also don't want to trade relievers. This doesn't make sense, but hey, I'm not making the decisions. So they just put all these Cincinnati Red fans' tweets. It sounds familiar.
Very familiar.
And just so we know that this is how it goes with a passionate fan base, the Phillies are playing like crap all of a sudden. After they went to London, I think they're like five games under 500, and they got swept by the Yankees today. And I like what MLB.com is doing. They're keeping the post-game shows on now. They didn't always do that. It was just the game, and they cut off right after the last pitch. So today they had their post-game show on. It was Ricky Vitalico, former pitcher, and I forget who the host was. They were rushing the Phillies. What has happened? What are we doing? Bryce Harper's won for his last 30. This team's in a tailspin. They got to beat a team like the Yankees if they want a World Series. So here's a team with the best record in baseball. They're having a little bit of a scuffle, which every team goes through in the course of a summer. And Philly fans are losing their mind right now. So it's not just us. It's not just Giants fans that are losing their mind. Apparently, all over baseball, people want to bitch and moan about their team sucking.
And I get that. And if you look at the Phillies, best record in baseball, they have a winning percentage of .602, which is not very good to be the best team in baseball. So they're only winning 60% of their games, which means in every 10...
I take that.
I take that. My point is, FP, that between them and the Giants with a winning percentage of .486, you have about 17 teams in Major League Baseball, which tells me that Major League Baseball this year has more parity and more mediocrity than ever before. So the Phillies are the best team in the National League, and in the American League, it's the Guardians at .607 winning percentage. So technically, they have the best record now in baseball. But again, that's a team with a 60.7% winning percentage. That's not very good. So if you're the Giants, you really could be an 8-2 stretch away from being very much in the mix, or a 2-8 stretch away from being completely out of the mix, because baseball is just that much. There's that much mediocrity around baseball all year this year.
Good point. And if they win, if they lost last night, the season's over. If they win tonight, we're back in this thing.
Exactly.
And if they lose tonight, the season's over again.
Oh, for sure. It's
but
double
if they
over.
Take two out of three from Cincinnati, we're in this thing, baby.
Well, they would need to win tonight and take two out of three from Cincinnati for me to not come in and hot take this thing on Monday.
Dude, I just see so much baseball in my life. Like, I don't get on the roller coaster, man. I don't. I know.
Maybe you're not cut out for this job then.
I'm just not on the roller coaster.
You got to be on the coaster.
No, dude.
We need you on that coaster.
You want me on that coaster. You need me on that
coaster. Last night was inexcusable, FP.
You say things like Big Dipper as a punchline.
It's pretty good.
Thank you.
Yeah, I liked it. I liked where you went with it.
But, I mean, you can't deny it was rough last night. That was bad.
Everyone was swinging. Ugly. It looked like they were swinging underwater, man. I don't know what happened on the off day.
It wasn't very confidence inspiring.
Yeah, I don't know what happened on the off day, but there was a lot of 92s being blown by people last night. And I'm sitting there going, and it just kept showing 92. I'm like, wait, that's like the perfect hitting speed. 92 to 94. Oh, man. I don't know if I could still hit it because I probably barely hit the machine when they set it up over there now that throws 50, but like, even with a slow bat, like 92 to 94, that's just perfect. You're supplying just enough power where if I swing easy, it's going far, and I don't have to gear up and cheat to get to 92. I just can take my normal swing and catch it up front and barrel it up. And the guys were just like, it's like Randy Johnson was throwing last night.
They're late.
They're tardy.
On 92.
They were all night.
That's a bad sign.
Maybe the changeup and slider were keeping them off the fastball, but damn. There was a lot of swing throughs last night. Sometimes, like, you'll watch a game and you're like, tip your cap, this guy's throwing 98 with a wipeout slider. I forget who it was. The kid from St. Louis that used to pitch for the A's. I draw a blank on his name.
Dan Heron.
No, just recently.
Sorry.
Anyways, he was unhittable. And there was some,
Sonny Gray?
Sonny Gray was unhittable the game I did, and Chris Sale in Atlanta. Like, those are games where you just tip your cap. Sale was throwing 98 with a wipeout slider, and you're wondering if he's going to throw a perfect game. So those games, you just go like, okay, I get it. But last night, I didn't get it. I was like, JP Sears, he's good, but you're swinging at
not
like
this good.
174 miles an hour. So somebody's got to pay tonight. Somebody is paying tonight.
What do you do when you're facing 98? Do you have to just gear up for the fastball no matter what and then hope that when he hits you with that slider that it's a ball?
You always gear up for the fastball no matter what.
Even if it's a guy throwing 92?
Yeah, because if you take one right down the middle, that's the sleepless nights. But like I was sitting on a curveball and he threw me a four-seamer right down the middle and I watched it go by because I was
92.
Overthinking things like I do in my life, period. But when it's 100, you got to say, I'm swinging at this pitch and I hope it's a strike. For us mere mortals. Like Barry and Tony Gwynn, they slowed the game down. They could say, oh, it's 100? I'm going to sit back and watch this 100 and go, wow. But like for not very good hitters like myself, if it was 100 miles an hour, upper 90s, I would say, I'm swinging at this pitch and I hope it's a strike. And you look stupid if it isn't, but that's the only way you can hit that. You can't sit around and wait and see if it's going to be a strike.
See it coming out of his hand and then decide.
It's in the glove. So, yeah. When you didn't have bat speed, you had to cheat to get to those. And cheating means you just start everything earlier. And you have to when it's 100. Because it's like, the difference between 95 and 97 is incredible in feet per second. The difference between like 96 and 98 is unbelievable.
Let alone 95 and 102.
It's feet per second.
Right.
It sounds like, 2 miles an hour. Like 2 miles an hour from 60 feet, 6 inches away is a lot. So when you start getting into the mid to upper 90s and it's 1 mile an hour difference or two, the difference between 99 and 100 is a lot. Because it's like versus, well, I can sit there for a second, think about it. Oh, that's high. I'm zoning them down right here. I'm looking for something out over the plate. You go with a game plan every at bat. You're looking for a pitch in a zone. When that pitch is in that zone, your eyes light up and you get it. If you foul it back, you're screwed because you got your pitch to hit and now you got to fight. But you have a game plan every at bat. I'm looking middle away. Gene Kline's a hitting coach for the Giants. He would let me leave the dugout to the on-deck circle until I told him what my game plan was on the top step of the dugout. I'm turning and burning here, Gino. No, stop. Like, I'm going deep. No, what do you got? And I'm like,
Middle away,
I'm going to hit a line drive through the shortstop's chest. I love it. Great. Didn't matter if I did it. He just wanted a plan. And finally, it just gets, I had two hits and I'm going on my third time. Gino, shut up, man. I don't want to have it. Just let me go hit. It's like, no, get over here. Quit smoking the crack pipe. He'd always say that to me. Quit smoking the crack pipe. Get over here and tell me what you're looking for. I you know what? He's been flipping in curveballs first pitch. I'm going to sit on first pitch curveball and hammer it. He's like, okay. He just wanted, he didn't argue your plan. He just wanted you to have a plan every time you stepped in the box. And sometimes the plan changes in the course of an at-bat. You know, you get your pitch, you file it back, now you fight. Or you never get your pitch, you get the two strikes, now you got to fight. But he just wanted us not to just go up and swing. He wanted us to go up there with a plan. And when I was a hitting coach in San Jose for 2 years, I said the same thing to my kids. Like, hey, I just want a game plan. I don't care what it is. I don't care if you're looking for a pitch over your head. And if that's your game plan, you get it, smack it. But we want to have a game plan every time we go up there. And you guys are probably saying, like, well, you're big league hitters. You're professionals. Over the course of a 162-game season, you go brain dead sometimes, man. You just want to go up there and hit. You don't want to think. You just want to swing. And it takes a lot of mental toughness and mental training to go up there every single at-bat, whether you got no hits, two hits, three hits, four hits, and stick to your game plan.
And I think that's what made last night frustrating, as you were talking about. It didn't really seem like there was a two-strike approach. There were so many swings and misses on 92 around the letters, around the belt. Pretty good pitches to hit, but they were missed. The Giants didn't take advantage. And what makes it frustrating, Dibs, is something that you brought up during the crossover. The Giants, with their first 108, now 109 games of the season, they haven't really bought themselves much margin for error. That's going to happen. I mean, it's 162 games. It's a very long season. Nights like that are going to happen, and I don't want to overreact to just one bad night. There's going to be more bad night surprises, just what happens in the major leagues. But you don't really have the ability to kind of just trick away some games at this stage of the season, because you have 4.5 games to make up. You have to leapfrog four different teams in the standings. You don't have that margin for error that makes things like that, you know, survivable for the Giants in this position.
Especially when you look at, you know, what you have coming up, and you've got a road trip, and it's, you know, 3 in Cincinnati and 3 in Washington, and you haven't been a good road team, so it hasn't really mattered who you've faced on the road. You've been bad away from Oracle Park, and so that makes tonight even more of a really important game than it otherwise would, because you've been good at home, and the A's are a sub-500 team, and so you think about what you've got coming up on the road, and you've got your ace going tonight. Apologies to Blake Snell, but Logan Webb is your all-star, and he's been your best pitcher for the better part of 3 years. So this is one that you should win, and I know it's baseball, and you could never look at it like, oh, we should win, therefore we will win. But you have to go out tonight and expect Logan Webb to get you 7 good ones. And offensively, you're able to scratch and claw and get enough stuff going on. And I like the way the lineup is, with Lamont leading off. And, you know, you got Fitzgerald in a more useful spot, a spot where he's done better. And so you feel like this is one that you should get. You go out and you get it, and then you have a better feeling going on the road.
Just to tie a bow on that whole rant I went on, if you're a young coach in your car right now and you're coaching kids, do that with them. Ask them what they're looking for. Ask them what their game plan is before they walk up there every single time. What are we looking for? Fastball in, fastball away, fastball middle, fastball up, curveball, slider. What are we sitting on right here? What's our plan this at bat? It takes all of 3 seconds. Like, what are you looking for? Fastball away. Okay, let's go. Go get them. Simple. Now you got your kids thinking in the right direction. They're not just swinging at anything. And I'm talking maybe like 13, 14 and up. Like maybe when you're Little League, just go up there and hack, right? Just like see it and hit it. Keep it simple. But like the higher levels you go, man, have a plan. Hit with a plan every single time. It's not easy. I mean, sometimes you just want to go up there and swing as hard as you can and hope you get the pitch you're looking for. But like, have a plan every time you go up.
What should the Giants' plan be tonight?
At the plate. Off Ross Stripling. He likes to give up home runs.
He likes to.
So I'm going to say swing hard in case you hit it and get some taters tonight. Dingers is the plan tonight.
They could use them. You could use some positive energy in that ballpark and in that clubhouse. You don't want to lose this one and then have to fly out to Cincinnati at losing a couple of games in a row off the All-Star break. You do have, you know, a pitching staff that you can lean on. And something I did want to get into at some point today, again, was what Farhan said. And I know, Dibs, you don't have a problem with it. Him saying we got the best rotation in baseball. But I mean, I could poke holes in every single one of these starters. We just talked about Logan Webb and his struggles recently. Blake Snell, obviously, he's been on the IL a couple of times already this season. He's been great the last month. I'm not denying that. But let's not pretend like it's been an easy, straightforward season for him. Robbie Ray hadn't pitched in 16 freaking months coming off of Tommy John surgery. He had a great first game back against the Dodgers in LA. He was amazing. But let's not pretend like it's going to be without bumps moving forward. Also, he's got a career 4 ERA. We throw out the Cy Young Award he won in 2021 when he was excellent. But let's not pretend that he's a perennial Cy Young contender. Kyle Harrison and Hayden Birdsall, you can kind of group those guys together. They've barely, you know, the most innings pitched in a single professional season that Kyle Harrison has thrown is 113. He's nearly at 100 right now. Hayden Birdsall, the most innings he's thrown in the season is 100. He's nearing 90 right now. Like, you're probably going to have to manage innings for Kyle Harrison, for Hayden Birdsall moving forward. This is, on paper, in theory, a really, really good rotation. And it's not to say that I think they shouldn't have traded Alex Cobb away. I'm not saying that. But I think there's a very realistic possibility where you look at this maybe a month from now, and there's a number of bumps with a number of these starting pitchers that maybe you didn't foresee on trade deadline day, as Farhan was talking about yesterday.
It's possible, and those problems would come because you were still in it in September. So if you get through four more turns in the rotation or five more turns in the rotation, you get through August and you're two or three games out in the wild card, or maybe you're the third wild card by then. Now you've got yourself a difficult question, because Harrison would be about 130 innings and Birdsall would be over his career high. So at that point, you would have some tougher choices to make. But a more realistic way that this is trending is you get to the beginning of September and Harrison and Birdsall, if you're six or seven games out of the wild card, well, now you can just shut them down. And Harrison, you go ahead and take the rest of the year off, and Birdsall the same. And you bring up Mason Black, and, you know, maybe you bring up Wisenhunt and give him some starts. And at that point, you're really waving the white flag. So I do think if you get into September and you're still very much in the race, that would mean that these guys have pitched well. Your rotation has been one of the better ones in baseball, and you're still very much in the race. That's the kind of problem that you wouldn't mind facing in September.
Mm. What do you do if you reach a point where you're still in the race and Birdsall and Harrison, you don't feel comfortable with them throwing any more minutes? Then you run into an issue.
Well, then you go with an opener, or maybe you go to Mason Black, or maybe you bring up Carson Wisenhunt, or you figure out a way to patchwork it, and you still have Snell and Ray and Logan Webb, three guys who are veterans, and you could ask them to, you know, carry a little bit more of the water in their starts, and you would have to go to a patchwork approach if you really were dead set on shutting them both down.
Yeah, I think you just let it rip.
Let Harrison throw 140 innings?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you can't get to charted waters unless you
go through uncharted waters.
Everyone's like, he's in uncharted waters right now. This is most innings. Like, well, how do you ever get to where you're supposed to go if you don't go there?
Well, the most that Harrison has thrown in a professional season, 113. He's at 100 essentially right now. So, I mean, he's going past 113, but it's not like you want him to throw 160, 170. You probably feel more comfortable at 140, 150, right?
I don't care. However he's feeling. Like, let me know how you're feeling. Like, and be honest with me. Are you tired? How you feel? I need an honest answer. And if you feel good, you go start by start. And if they're in it, we're pitching. Sorry. We're getting the playoffs. You get the playoffs, they're not going to pitch. Ask Steven Strasburg how that went. I don't think you're shutting these guys down. I think, you know, maybe it just, to me, it's not pitches. It's red line pitches. It's high stress pitches. Like, we all just talk about numbers with pitching. You go out there and throw 100 pitches and you never pitch out of a jam. That's different than throwing 100 pitches in five innings when you're getting out of three jams. And you're throwing harder and you're spinning the ball harder. If you're on cruise control, 100 pitches isn't a whole lot. So it's not, we get so stuck on the number, but what kind of number is it? What kind of 100 pitches was it? So if you're cruising with 100, okay, you threw 100, but maybe you could throw 115 tonight because it was just 1, 2, 3.
Never 115.
1, 2, 3 tonight. 1, 2. See, doesn't that number sound weird?
It's crazy.
It sounds nuts.
To even say 115, even 100 pitches now is like, oh, that's a fireable offense. Oh,
he's at 90 through 6. It's take
like,
him out.
It's like driving in downtown San Francisco or just cruising to L.A. on I-5. Like, you're putting a lot of stress on your car with these hills and city driving, or you're just at, it's different. Like, the number is different. And we are also caught up in the number. It's ups and downs. It's how many times you sit down and get up. and it's how many high-stress pitches you have.
Yeah. All right, we got to take a break. We got Bobby Evans coming up at 4 o'clock. So in about a half hour, former GM of the San Francisco Giants. He'll take us through some of the decisions that the Giants have made, and I'm sure how much more difficult it is from the inside than it looks to all of us here on the outside. That's coming up in about 30 minutes here on Willard and Dibbs on 95.7 The Game. It's Dan Dibley, FB Santangelo, Mark Randy with you. We are sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts. More Willard and Dibbs coming up next here on 95.7 The Game.